In a continuing series of episodes on the topic of connecting things to Kafka, today I spoke with Graham Heinbach of Attunity, a vendor of enterprise-grade change data capture tools. We talk about all things data integration on today's episode of Streaming Audio, a podcast about Kafka, Confluent, and the cloud. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Streaming Audio. I have with me today in the virtual studio, Mr. Graham Heinbach of Attunity. Graham, welcome to the show.
Cool. Thank you very much, Tim. Great to be here.
And I always say virtual studio because very rarely when we record these are we co-located. But it so happens, Graham, we were talking just before the show that we're about 5 miles away from each other, both not just in the Denver area, but kind of on the west end of town. So how about that?
Exactly. It's a gorgeous day today in Denver, Colorado, as we wind down summer.
Isn't it always the evenings this time of year? You know, everybody, if you're, you know, listeners, the fact that Graham and I are close to each other, absolutely useless information to you. Also useless information to you if you don't live in Denver. Denver summer evenings are sublime. I think especially in August. It's just like the best thing that air can do. Is what the air does here. It's just amazing. Anyway, we are not here to talk about meteorology. We're not here to talk about Denver. We're here to talk about change data capture and Attunity and kind of what you guys do. So first, Graham, tell us what you do.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, so I'm part of the business development organization with inside of Attunity within partner engineering. So I have the great fortune of working with key technology partners like Confluent, dealing with new technologies and new integration platforms. So that working with customers, working with partners, and understanding kind of different technologies and how we apply them to solve business problems. That's my favorite thing to do every day.
Awesome. And everybody, so if you're in an engineering role, if you're a developer and you're wondering, you know, why did I have somebody with the title business development on the show? If you don't know how enterprise business development works, it's this kind of combination of sales and engineering, and there are some highly technical roles that exist within a typical enterprise business development organization, because what BD is all about is helping basically, well, in this sense, helping one company's technologies work with partner companies. And in our case, we'll talk about what Attunity does, and well, it's a change data capture tool, basically. And a change data capture tool and Kafka kind of need each other. Mm-hmm. So in this case, both companies, BD organizations, have, you know, it's kind of salespeople who set up deals and ways of sharing business and all that. And that's not really what we talk about on this show. But they typically also have some deeply technical roles, because it's hard to make one technology work with another. And inside business development, you have these technical people who help solve those problems and define the parameters of the integration and all that kind of stuff. So yep. That's why, Graham, that's why we have you here.
Cool.
So tell us, we've had actually a couple shows on change data capture recently, taking it from a couple different angles. So if you've been listening for more than a few months, you've recently heard a definition of this, but maybe you haven't. And in any case, I'm interested, Graham, in what is your short definition of what CDC is?
Sure. Well, thanks, Tim. Definitely. So change data capture is key to a lot of enterprises today to move data in real time or near real time from source or core application systems, OLTP environments, to newer SaaS cloud type technologies. So CDC is the ability to read RDMS or database transaction logs in near real time. So legacy systems before, we had ELT, the extract load transform, or the ETL, extract transform load paradigm, which was very, very successful, as we all know. And then batch windows started to shrink and data volume started to explode. So we looked at a different way of skinning the cat, if you will. And that's where CDC came about, and it's also part of the Gartner Magic Quadrant. So as I said, CDC allows me to read the transaction logs of databases, so like Oracle redo and archive logs, reading the T-log of a SQL Server instance from Microsoft, and using the DB2 read log API from IBM. Also support for SAP, so whether you're talking about HANA environment, and also reading flat files. So having the ability of a single modern data integration platform leveraging CDC is key to a modern enterprise.
Awesome. So in short, it's a way of taking data, well, and it's from a thing to a thing. We're just going to make the assumption that the destination of the data is a Kafka topic, but you have data that's not in Kafka, it's transactional data. It's something that's changing, and you capture those changes, you put them in a topic.
Right.
We kind of generally think of that as having come from a relational database table, and we'll probably stick with that assumption for most of this discussion, but I would love it if you could also violate that assumption at some point. Like I'll try and come back and ask you if you don't come up with something, but
sure.
You mentioned flat files, and it'd just be neat to think of, you know, what's a little bit off the beaten path of CDC.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so coming down the pipeline for us is also being able to capture from software as a service systems like Salesforce.com. So there's APIs, if you will, available in those platforms that Golden Gate, or sorry, that Attunity can plug into. So we're looking at those, and we're about to release some new components for Attunity. So very, very excited to share that with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Golden Gate. I don't even know what Golden Gate is. We'll have to edit that out.
Exactly. Sorry about that.
No. And we're not really going to edit it out.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. That is fascinating, connecting to APIs like that. I mean, totally makes sense once you are in the habit of kind of scraping stuff from a place and putting it into topics. Well, you might as well start to expand to APIs too. So let's get into that if we can.
Yep.
So that's your account of CDC. Oh yeah, the other thing I wanted to say is it's fascinating how you trace it kind of as a part of the history of ETL. Mm-hmm. Historically, ETL was nightly, and it was just queries. You know, whatever API your transactional database presented, which was probably SQL, you just got stuff out with big expensive selects. Yep. And, you know, put them into, you did things to them and put them into your warehouse. But yeah, interesting that you trace CDC as a thing that developed as the kind of the received ETL paradigm of maybe the late 90s and early 2000s sort of came under stress from shrinking batch windows and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And when we see customers taking CDC technology and then doing integration at the transaction level. So what do I mean by that? Concatenating first name, last name, taking a look at that, the transaction and the transaction boundaries happening on the source system, and basically augmenting that data, either doing a lookup on a source or a lookup on a target to say you've got an object ID, but you want to bring object description with you so you can create something either in first normal form on the target. So augment that data. Traditionally, that was done in ETL, but as you know, it's done in a very large batch-based environment, mini batches and micro batches. So the ability to stream that data set and augment the data set is key.
Cool. Okay, now I was giving a description of what BD does, mm-hmm. and I should say, again, you work for a company called Attunity. Attunity is a Confluent partner because you make a thing that works really well with Kafka, and it solves a problem that people are often trying to solve when they're building a system on Kafka, and it's not a part of Apache Kafka or any Confluent product or anything. So it's this great partnership.
Correct. Yeah.
For our listeners, what does Attunity do?
Cool. Very good question. So the Attunity platform is a combination of three core products. The first one is Attunity Replicate, and that is our CDC engine, runs on-prem and in the cloud. So AWS, Azure, GCP, Google Cloud, and then also, of course, running on-prem. So you can connect to your on-prem systems and to stream that data to Kafka in the cloud or even Kafka on-prem. Part of the platform is then Compose, and Compose builds, takes that data, if you will, from Kafka, and it's for building enterprise data warehouses, operational data stores, and analytics-ready data sets. So there's technologies out there today, data warehouses like Snowflake, Databricks, Redshift, all of these different technologies, even Oracle, dare I say, and Teradata and some of the legacy systems. And people want to build either a third normal form or star schema, basically adhere to a Data Vault 2.0 methodology. And that's what Compose does for you. So back in the day, you'd have to write all the ETL scripts, you'd have to write all the SQL scripts, both Replicate and Compose together, give you this integrated environment so that you can create these data sets with ease. You don't have to understand the complex SQL of the target environment. All you have to say is, yep, here's my source system, I'm going to leverage this data through Kafka, and then here's my target system. So, and then of course, the management and monitoring of those systems through AEM, Attunity Enterprise Manager, is key. Leveraging your DevOps environment and plugging in through RESTful APIs to start and stop processes, to augment processes and change processes, AEM brings that to the table. So a complete data integration environment from soup to nuts.
as one would expect.
Exactly.
Now, I mostly want to talk about replicate, but when you were talking about compose, you mentioned a specification. You were saying what you want to do is you want to put them in third normal form.
Right.
And what was that specification?
Yeah. So star schema is
the standard format that a data warehouse schema would be in, but there was something 2.0 and I'm
Data Vault 2.0.
Data Vault 2.0, what is that?
Yeah, so Data Vault 2.0 is basically a methodology for delivering data or for setting up the data in your enterprise data warehouse. So we see a lot of customers who are looking at building data marts or operational data stores, or an analytics ready data set. So having a methodology that you can follow, so you can say, okay, whether it is star schema, whether it's third normal form, whether you've got a fact table with dimension tables, normally you'd have to build all this yourself. You'd have to turn around and create a slowly changing dimension object inside of an ETL set. And you'd have to figure out, how do I map record one to record N within the source and target? Compose does all that for you. It's all fully automated and it leverages replicate. So you have your initial load into a set of base tables, and then you have your CDC, change data capture stream, either into a set of course, Kafka topics, and then pulling that data out and being able to write that into an operational data store in that format.
Cool. And is that specification like the output of an industry consortium or what?
Correct. Correct it is.
Yep. Cool. All right.
In the data warehouse, I know I don't want to go off topic, but in the data warehousing world, there's a Inman model, there's a Kimball model, and there's Data Vault 2.0 model. There's also different standards that people adhere to. Compose is specifically focused on the Data Vault 2.0 model.
Got it. Listeners, what's happening here is that I am revealing that I am not a data engineer. I would have known those things. So Kimball, I know, I always view that as like the received data warehousing orthodoxy, and Inman, familiar with that name, but I just didn't know Data Vault. So
yeah, it's just another methodology that we adhere to. And the reason is we're not looking to boil the ocean. So decisions have been made when we've decided, hey, let's build these analytics ready data sets. The building a single enterprise data warehouse is a very, very complex task. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. It can be a multi-year process. Most of our customers saying, hey, Graham, we need to get this data available either in the cloud for business analytics, for business intelligence. We want to create a subset of the data. Can you help us do that in a really quick fashion? And that's what Attunity does. That's our business model.
Gotcha. See, that's one of the great things about hosting this podcast is I get to learn things. Now, let's talk about Replicate, because that seems like the primary integration point and the sort of the basis of why people would use our two companies' products together.
Correct.
I will be devil's advocate for just a moment. Let me just say, I have a relational database and I have the JDBC connector. Mm-hmm. So why do I even need your thing?
Yep, very good question. So we've got customers out there who are doing the old legacy pull, if you will. So if you have a JDBC connection to your database, you're going to send the select statement down to the database. It's going to spike the utilization of the database. The DBA is going to call you up and say, why are you destroying all my wonderful reports that I've written for my end users? And you're just looking
But I like
them.
My DBA.
So do I.
Said no developer ever.
Right? Exactly. So he or she. But as you well know, the volume of data is exponentially increasing. The number of reports and requests against an OLTP or a source legacy database is increasing. So the DBAs are under continual pressure to, how do we optimize the data storage? How do we optimize the database to support these queries, especially at month end, especially at quarter end? There's just a lot of people, sending queries to the database. So DBAs would say, hey, there are methodologies and technologies and APIs available within my source OLTP database. If it's, say, for example, DB2, with the DB2 read log API, please leverage that. Take the weight off my database. Don't be sending down these queries to my database. Run a third-party process against those endpoints, if you will, so that you can take weight off my database. And that's what CDC is all about.
Gotcha. And even if performance somehow isn't a consideration, you've got some semantic advantages in what a CDC system can give you, right?
True, true. So think about it. The transaction log is a single place of the truth. So as you've got begin, tran, insert, update, delete, commit, that's written to the database, but it's also written to the transaction log so that you can issue a rollback statement. The transaction order is held with inside of the transaction log. NERI, referential integrity, that existed on the source system, that is implied or inherited when we have the base transaction hitting the source system, so that transactional order is correct with inside the database. By reading the transaction log and using CDC, you can keep that transactional order. If I have a JDBC driver and I'm just doing selects, I'd have to use either some time-based methodology. You cannot guarantee transactional order.
Got it. You also don't see deletes. You don't see schema changes.
Correct, which we do see in CDC and we do see in the transaction logs.
Yeah. Fair point about transactional ordering, I suppose, because the database is giving you its consistency guarantee. The C in ACID, it's only going to give you, referential integrity, you mentioned. You're only going to get entries in the transaction log that that don't violate referential integrity.
Exactly. And then we pick that up. So as we're sending that message to Kafka, inside the message payload, we have the operation, you know, whether it was an insert, was an update, was a delete, the change sequence number. So as there's multiple operations happening in that transaction, that's also sent along with you, as well as the transaction timestamp, a stream position, as well as the transaction ID. So as we start talking about ordering that data into specific topics and into different partitions, there's different methodologies that we can apply to Kafka for either high-speed data streaming or data distribution and data loading. And that's all supported within the side of Attunity Replicate through a graphical user interface. You can support multiple endpoints within side of Replicate and, of course, run multiple tasks at the same time. So we have a mantra of capture once, deliver many. So once you have those source systems or those source transactions from your source system, you might distribute them in different fashions to different systems and different Kafka topics and queues. And you've only had to grab the data once through that CDC source endpoint. So hence, it's a super lightweight methodology of picking up those changes.
Yeah, once it's in Kafka, you've burdened the database once. And so now two things. First of all, that's less of a burden than a big, ugly query would be, because you're somehow reading a log. And I'd like to dig into what reading a log means. But you know, you're doing this cheaper log reading thing, and you only do it once. Now it's in a topic, so now I can create stream processors on top of that topic that will split and duplicate and you know, any sort of processing I want to do on that. That's kind of like Kafka's problem and my application's problem at that point. Never again the database's problem. Once it's in Kafka, it's sort of home free.
Exactly, exactly. That's the beauty of Kafka.
It is, and I like that goal. Get the data into Kafka as quickly as possible. That's why I like Replicate, right?
Yep.
Gets it where it's supposed to be. From legacy systems, which I define as systems that aren't Kafka, into Kafka.
Exactly.
I always like to acknowledge I'm being a little cute when I say that. I mean, there are plenty of non-Kafka data systems that are actively developed and maintained and are beautiful things. But a lot of people want their data in Kafka, and there are good reasons for that. So let's dig into some of the sources. So the whole point of, if we'll just focus on Replicate, it's a CDC tool. Yeah. There are other CDC tools in the world, and you know, some commercial, some open source, and they get data from something. And we're focusing for now on relational databases. And we said what they do is they read the log. So maybe pick one example, if I could push you in a direction.
Sure.
DB2 is a little bit off the beaten path for what we normally talk about here.
Yep.
So that might even make it, I think, a good thing. So how does this work?
Yeah, sure. DB2. Full support for DB2. So as I said, the Attunity Replicate supports about 35 different sources today, and it's always adding new sources day in, day out. So it's pretty exciting. So I think from MySQL and Postgres and SQL Server, all of the Oracle and Postgres, and they're all up on Amazon RDS, as well as all the Azure environments, support for Google Cloud and Dataproc and Cloud Storage and SQL Data Warehouse, and so on and so forth. So for DB2, there's kind of three flavors from IBM, as we all know. There's DB2 on ZOS, which is their mainframe, DB2 for I, which is the legacy AS400 environment, and then DB2 LUW, Linux, Unix, Windows. And we support all three. across all the different operating systems. So pretty exciting stuff.
This is a slight distraction. How different are those three from one another? I know this is not your product.
Exactly. But they are. I do know the mainframe stuff pretty well from other companies I've worked with over the years. They are three completely different environments with the same name. It's just a standard IBM naming technology. So there are different APIs. The good news is on the LUW, the Linux, Unix, Windows environment, through the standard client API from IBM, there is what we call the DB2 log reader API, and that's the API we've written to. So the log reader API allows me to set a position with inside the DB2 read log. Anytime you do an insert, update, and delete to that DB2 source table that's cataloged, we see that transaction, and we're able to pick it up and stream it downstream. Same for the iSeries. So on the AS400, we leverage the AS400 client API as well, and it's display log journal. So DSP JRNL is the command under the cover. So it's basically a journaled file system for DB2 on the iSeries, and as a fully support that, and you journaled a table into the file system, we see those changes.
I'm comforted to know that there is a 6-character command to make that happen. Something is right with the world.
Exactly. And you have a green screen, of course, a 5250 logging on all that legacy stuff. And then same on
kids, the kids these days, they could never.
I would agree, and I'll go there going, thanks, kids, for keeping my career alive. I'm an old Unix VI person, LS-AL, awk set, and grep. And then as the years have gone by and I'm working with these new, smarter kids, they're just like, no, we don't need to do that. And I would agree. An HTML5 through the modern graphical user interface, through Attunity Replicate and Attunity Compose, is just an easier way to set up these environments.
Do have better ways to live.
Yeah, right. They used to be science projects. I was paid handsomely many, many years ago in my 20s and 30s to write all this code in C and C++, and it wasn't reusable. Dare I say, I even did some assembly programming in the past and Java programming, and they became just one-off connectors for companies. Now we're able to create this wonderful environment where it's either running up in the cloud, you know, whether it's Azure, Google, or AWS, and connect to these on-prem systems, whether it's through on-prem connectors or just within the cloud. One of the key tenets of Attunity Replicate, though, is that it's agentless. So hopefully you've heard I'm leveraging, or we're leveraging, the client APIs. I don't have to install software on the Oracle system. I don't have to install software on the AS400. I don't have to install software on the DB2 LUW instance.
Really?
Yeah.
In all cases, it's always able to be agentless?
There's a couple where we have to use a service called AIS. So for example, if you're using IMS on the mainframe, I have to have a started task up on the mainframe to do that.
Okay.
But for 99% of our environments, our sources and targets, they are agentless. We're just leveraging the client APIs.
Even Postgres? Is the Postgres?
Postgres uses the wall writer, the read ahead logger, and there's a set of APIs through the client that we can leverage the wall API and pull that data out. And, same for MySQL. MySQL 2, it's the bin log API. We're able to pick up the bin log. So these are the differences between a commercial vendor, if you will, and some of the open source vendors. They're relying on the community to build these technologies, and I think they will advance. You know, there are definitely places for it, and I've got my customers using it. But for some of the other legacy high performant systems, you want to look at a commercial vendor like Attunity.
Yeah. I interrupted. You were describing the iSeries command, that 6-letter command, and I just felt a sense of well-being when you said that. But you didn't get to the ZOS version. Is there any interesting technical details there?
Same.
Our listeners are hanging on the edge of their seat waiting to hear that.
Exactly. Same methodology. So leveraging those client APIs to be able to read the transaction logs from that DB2 series.
Got it. This is kind of the life of an integration technology, right? The value in the product is that the world has 603 million things that all want to talk to you in a different way, and you do that talking.
Exactly.
That's work that everyone should stop you and shake your hand for. And offer to buy you a drink.
The other one that we've just kind of touch on as well, since we're talking about sources and targets, is SAP. SAP, as you guys know, have done a huge shift into HANA. It's their new data technology, and a lot of customers are retiring their legacy you know, RDBMS and legacy OLTP systems underneath their SAP system and moving to HANA. So Replicate, we've done a ton of work and we support that.
Okay. If I could, I want to talk about the integration because it's very interesting. And and honestly, I'm just fascinated by off the beaten path integration. So I'll probably grill you on a few more. But HANA, probably a lot of listeners have at least heard of it. It's a proprietary high-speed data technology made by SAP. Yeah. I thought it was an analytics database. I don't spend a lot of my time in this space, so I'm willing to forgive myself for not knowing that. But it's actually a transactional thing?
Yeah, so it becomes the underpinning for the SAP R3 and the latest versions of SAP. So they've done the work. They've added a transaction log capability in an API, so Attunity fully supports that. And we're also certified by SAP.
Okay, so anything stored in a R3 HANA implementation, we can also capture that and spirited away safely into Kafka topics where no one can harm it.
Exactly. They call it SAP ERP. I think it's ECC 6.0 on all EHP levels. And then there's modules inside of there like CRM and SRM, GTS, MDS, MDG. And I'm not the SAP expert, but that's the ones I remember off the top of my head that customers have asked me about, and we support them.
You're not, but in the podcast of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
So, thanks, Tim.
I'm sorry. Right now, you are. Okay. Weirdest integration. When I say weird, you know, you're about to name some technology now. I don't mean that as an integration that's bad or doesn't work well, but just what's the funkiest thing that we could talk about a little bit? Because again, these are just fun for me.
Yeah,
that it works in a strange way.
So there's a technology out there called MemSQL, and basically it's an in-memory row store with an on-disk column store. Basically, one of my customers reached out to me and said, "Hey, we're looking at this as a target, Graham. You know, could you guys support it?" So I worked with product management and R&D. And basically, we found out that it is MySQL wire-level protocol compatible. So we were able to leverage the work that we'd already done for MySQL. Underneath Attunity or inside Attunity, when you're building an endpoint, there's a piece of technology called the syntax provider. So I can change the behavior of an insert and update and delete, change the behavior of initial load, change the behavior of a create table statement or alter table add index. So we worked with the MemSQL folks and basically in a 30-day period had a proof of concept up and running, and the customer said, "Yep, this is what we want to do." So that's some of the exciting stuff that we can plug into. Some of the harder stuff I've worked on is with SAP as a source, dealing with some of the BI tool sets now that Attunity is part of Qlik. So we have the business intelligence tool sets looking at those SAP data sets. And as you know, that data is 4-character German-based material master. So understanding the relationships between those elements and the referential integrity, being able to load that data up into Qlik through a technology that we have called Gold Client. So that's another part of the Attunity platform. Pretty exciting stuff.
Very, very. Yeah, I've actually never personally done any data exploration on an SAP schema.
Right.
And I didn't know they were 4 characters. I thought they were like 6 to 10.
Yeah, 4 characters for the actual table name, like LAS1. And yeah, and it's all in German. So it's not as if I can say, here's order processing, here's material master, here's, you know, order, sure, you know, invoice and invoice details. So having that experience and having people who understand that and know that, and then that knowledge has been configured, if you will, and available with inside of Attunity for SAP.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I suddenly have a powerful urge to use a 3270 terminal connected to an iSeries machine.
Cool. Very good.
So, yeah.
Cool.
That's good stuff to wrap because, I mean, you do it's obviously it's a platform. You know, SAP is a product. It's a platform that exists for real reasons and real companies deploy it and do really valuable things with it. And there's all of this, you know, massive pile of transactional data because SAP doesn't get deployed by small businesses, right?
Correct.
So operationally you're complex. The actual state changes and exchanges of value that the business is doing in the real world are many and varied by definition if you're using SAP. So here it is with these 4-character table names that are named, you know, abbreviations of a language you may not know if you're not a German speaker. nice to have something that helps you
Agreed.
Make sense of that data and get it into Kafka where, like I said, nobody can hurt it
anymore. Exactly. And that leads me to some of my customers, an insurance company called Generali out of Switzerland. So they have an omni-channel environment looking to modernize their legacy systems. And all of the technologies I've talked about are with inside of insurance companies throughout the world. So
tell me what omnichannel means real
quick. So yeah, sure. Omnichannel is basically the ability to tie in newer software as a service, SaaS systems like Salesforce.com, like customer facing 365 portals, and be able to have that data standard across these newer and legacy environments. So if you've ever dealt with some of existing technologies that are out there, it can take 1 or 2 days as these jobs are run. And then, you know, let's say you're put in a claim for an insurance and you had to change address. Which channel did you call to change your address? Did you call customer support? Did you send an email? Maybe you did it online through one of their brand new HTML type portal environments. And then how do we consolidate that against the back end? So if we make a change on system A, whether it was SAP or Oracle, we want to make sure that change is sent in real time or near real time via Kafka to all of these different endpoints. So as you know, with the Confluent Connector Hub, we have the ability Confluent has the ability to disseminate this data across multiple different channels and environments, as does Attunity. So I like to call it coopetition. If there's an endpoint that Sure. we don't support, I'll say to my customers, hey, let's take a look at Confluent, take a look at the Confluent Connector Hub and see what we can use. MongoDB being one that you guys are very, very successful with, and JMS, Java Messaging Services. So moving that data to downstream environments is key. And that's what omnichannel is all about. How do I leverage my existing systems, not completely rewrite them, not throw them out, but create a platform that I can plug in new and legacy systems to and replicate, or Trinity Replicate, Compose, and Kafka is Generali's go-to solution.
Got it. So from a user standpoint, omnichannel, and Generali is an insurance company, omnichannel means I can go to my insurance agent's office and, you know, increase the liability limit on my homeowner's policy, mm-hmm. if that concept applies in Switzerland. And then I can go to the mobile app and see that day. I don't have to wait 2 days for the mainframe batch update to happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of like... trying to think of a 90s band name. 98 Degrees mm-hmm. was on the radio when that sort of thing was appropriate, and they're not on the radio anymore. So we want those updates to happen more quickly.
Exactly.
But from a technical perspective, you're saying the core of that is be able to connect different systems, because probably whatever the agent is like, I when I go to my insurance agent's office, they've got a regular kind of modern Windows PC. And there's a window that opens up, that's a 3270 emulator.
Right.
So there's this old green screen application. So that's going into some thing, probably a mainframe, could be ZOS, maybe it's an iSeries, I don't know. Yep. But that goes in there, and whatever the mobile app is running against ain't that, right? The mobile app is running against a stack that any modern developer probably knows.
Correct.
So those need to talk.
Yep, the ability to take that real-time data streaming into something like a LAMP stack, we fully support that. And then using Kafka as the queuing methodology and the distribution environment, I think is key.
Yeah, indeed. And there are lots more to the Kafka story there. Mm-hmm. Once the data gets into Kafka, then I could say, dump it into Mongo with the Mongo connector. We just right. recently interviewed the guy who led the development of that as an open source connector.
Right.
That's Hans-Peter Grassel. Who built that connector, and then Mongo took it over and has kind of made it their official thing. Mm-hmm. Very cool story. So you could get the data into Kafka and maybe do a little bit of transformation on it and dump it into Mongo because your mobile app uses Mongo. But really, once the data is in Kafka, you just have infinite options. And so if your mobile app or your web app is a fairly modern microservices architecture, the centralized database tends to fade away, and you get a lot of little service local databases, and really the system of record becomes Kafka itself, becomes those topics. So once the data is there, you're free to operate.
Yep.
And then free to architect how you want.
The other thing that I want to just bring up on our Kafka connector is I have different ways of delivering that data into topics or queues, whether it's JSON or Avro formatted. You know, people might say to me, hey, Graham, well, what about scalability? How do we scale out Attunity? Do I want to do one topic per database table? Yes, we can fully support that. Do I want to do one topic per application? We can fully support that. What about random partitioning? Yep, Attunity Replicate fully supports that. Or partition by schema table name, partitioning by table primary key, or partition by transaction ID. And inside of Replicate, all you have to do is go to the endpoint configuration graphical user interface, and it's a drop-down box. So you don't have to write code. You don't have to figure out your strategy for delivering your data across your Kafka cluster instantaneously. You have the ability to add additional endpoints to that same metadata stream. So as I said, you could capture once, deliver many, have multiple multiple endpoints through multiple tasks running on the same Replicate instance, or have that distributed with inside the cloud. You can have multiple Replicate instances. And then having the ability just to do, as I said, through a drop-down list, just to be able to pick your strategy makes life really, really easy. If you want to change strategies on the fly, you can do so.
Got it. And some of those options sound like, it sounded like you were getting at transaction consistency as a part of this interface. So there are things happening in my database, potentially in multiple tables, and the database's own transaction semantics aren't troubled by that. Mm-hmm. Right? We do that every day. And then I want to get those into Kafka topics. But if it's a table per topic, I'm not going to have transactional ordering. So maybe expand on that. Talk sure. to us about transaction consistency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this this kind of philosophy comes from the data warehousing environment, if you will. So when you're dealing with technologies like Snowflake or Redshift or some of these other environments, there is no referential integrity, or the RI is not enforced, because I'm not building a mirror image copy of my OLTP source system. I want to distribute this data. I want to leverage this data. I want to use this data. And the data could be augmented or added to or enhanced. So what I want to be able to do for a lot of applications, target applications, is I want to keep the transaction order. So I want to know the begin trend, the insert, the update, the delete. And do I do that across multiple partitions? Or maybe I use random partitioning, or I turn around and I partition by the table primary key. So that methodology gives me the ability to turn around and say, okay, I know all my data exists in partition 1, 2, 3, and 4 for tables A, B, C, D, and E. Now I can have multiple consumers read that data from the Kafka topic. Or I have another set of applications, and what it wants to do is partition by transaction ID. So now I've got a transaction ID with all of its subcomponents with inside that partition. So it's basically a single fetch. So just different ways of delivering the data, adhering to the transactionality of it, making sure that it's distributed correctly across multiple topics and multiple partitions using multiple methodologies.
Cool. Yeah. Any other use cases that are exciting to you that have been interesting or fun?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So working with some customers for IoT. So don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but basically low level data, very, very small data packets, but hundreds of millions of them, having that data being distributed into multiple Kafka topics and brokers. And then, of course, you know, I call it real-time analytics. So leveraging technologies like Apache NiFi as they're taking that data up into memory and streaming it and doing analytics against it. And then there's technologies out there like Spark from the Databricks folks. And all of these can leverage and do leverage Kafka. So that is our best practice. That is our go-to methodology for delivering this data for real-time analytics.
Awesome. I should also mention our two companies have recently written a book together. Yep. It's pretty short. Do you know anything about this book, Grant?
I do. In fact, I was reading it this morning, just doing a bit of preface and making sure that we're on topic. It's called the Apache Kafka Transaction Streaming for Dummies Special Edition. So it is, I don't know if it's published yet or it's going to be published within the next 30 days. I think it is on confluent.io/dummies is going to be the URL link for it. And it
correct.
Basically,
that's confluent.io/dummies.
Yep. And it gives us a good, I would call it a pretty in-depth discussion of the integration of CDC, change data capture methodologies, and Kafka from, of course, the Attunity perspective. So pretty excited about that.
Cool. And it covers some Kafka streams, some KSQL, and some foundational stuff. So if you're a longtime listener, you probably know the Kafka fundamentals there, but not so much the Attunity fundamentals.
Right.
And if someone you know or love is not a longtime listener and does kind of need the, you know, explain this to me as a beginner sort of thing, this is the book for that. That's kind of the purpose of the book, to start you from potentially zero mass. I know what a database is. I know what integration is, and get you to a good understanding of how the two platforms, you know, why it's a good idea to use the two platforms together and what all the pieces do.
Exactly. Chapter 8 goes into 10 reasons to choose Confluent and Attunity for Apache Kafka transaction streaming. So great, great bedtime reading.
Awesome. Yes. And and Generali is covered in there as well.
Correct.
I was an editor of the book.
So very good.
I know what's in it.
Cool.
And also, by the time you hear this, that URL is active and the book is available. So you can absolutely go to confluent.io/dummies mm-hmm. and get that if you are into it.
Yep. One last part as I'm going to go going through my notes. Also, Attunity does have full support for the Confluent Schema Registry. So very, very important when you're dealing with source OLTP systems, as people do, alter table, add column. We want to make sure that that's reflected in the Kafka topic and queue when you're deserializing that data. So there is a chapter and discussion on that as well.
Amazing. That's very nice. Yeah. Because again, once the data is in the topic, I mean, from the standpoint of the CDC tool, it's putting stuff in the topic,
yep.
right? That's it.
Correct.
But it might want to know if there has been a schema change. Will that be a breaking schema change?
Right.
And on the consume side, which isn't Attunity's problem at all, but hey, somebody is reading this data once it's in Kafka. So on the consume side, will a particular schema change be breaking if the version of the consumer is out of sync with what it expected from the schema version of the producer? That's schema registry's goal, is to try to make it easy for you to migrate schemas. They will migrate, yeah. right? And you version your many producers and your many consumers independently, the theory goes, and schema registry wants to help you keep you from breaking one or the other, depending on compatibility rules that you set.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been a while since we talked directly about schema registry on the show, to my memory. So I'll probably do that again at some point, because it's a good topic. But thank you for bringing that up, because that is absolutely key.
Perfect.
Well, my guest today has been Graham Heinbach. Graham, thanks for being a part of Streaming Audio.
Cool. Thanks, Tim. Really appreciate it. And please feel free to reach out if there's any other Attunity, Replicate, Compose, or AEM questions. Would love to answer them.
And there you have it. Before I go, I want to tell you that we have a pretty cool new offer to help you get started with Confluent Cloud without you having to pay for anything. If you're a new user and you go through the regular sign-up process and start using Confluent Cloud, your first $50 of usage per month are free. This will last for the first 3 months after you sign up. So that's $50 per month of serverless Kafka for 3 months at no cost to you. So go to the sign up link in the show notes. I don't want to read you the URL, and sign up now. I think the only thing I could really do more is write your code for you. And I think we can both agree that's too much to ask. So check it out and hey, let us know how you like it. Anyway, as always, I hope this podcast was helpful to you. If you want to discuss it or ask a question, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Confluent Inc. or reach out to me at TL Berglund. That's TLBERGLUND. Or you can hit us up in Community Slack. There's a sign-up link for that in the show notes as well. And while you're at it, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and to this podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you subscribe through iTunes, be sure to leave us a review there. That helps other people discover the podcast, which is a good thing. Thanks a lot for your support, and we'll see you next time.